26 to 38.
I'm not going to read it again, but we want to study this passage a little bit in detail. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, and Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And I want you to catch the reality of both first Mary and then Joseph in these passages. We're going to deal with Joseph first and then Mary. But you must understand that both of them were disrupted in the normalcy of their lives. They were living their lives just as much as most of us would be. You have to understand that they were living like most young people, not older. He was not an older man or an elderly man, nor was she a very... she may not have been more than a teenager. And they were engaged to be married. They were not yet married. And if you caught the words of the song that we were listening to just before this, they had dreams, they had desires, which were kind of getting shattered. Their future was being interrupted. More than interrupted, disrupted. But the words I want you to catch, which will be the substance of my sermon this morning, is that he considered, Joseph considered these things. And what I want you to catch from Mary, the passage in Luke's Gospel, is that she tried to discern the greeting of Gabriel. He was considering these things. Mary tried to discern what was the greeting and the subsequent words of Gabriel. You look further in the passage in Luke's Gospel, Mary not only tried to discern, later it says that after the angel told her that she would conceive by the Holy Spirit, she even dares to ask him a question. It was not a rebellious question, it was not a question to resist the plan of God. It was a question to understand, for submission. She said, how can it be? How can a virgin conceive? That was the issue in her mind that she was wondering about. She was not saying, I don't want it to happen. She was saying, how can I conceive? I don't know a man. We're not yet married, Joseph and I. And so, think of those things and don't misinterpret the fear and the troubled spirit of Mary or Joseph in both these passages. And I want to say this very emphatically, that God could not have done it without Mary and Joseph. And there are lots of things in this world God cannot do without the submission of people who call themselves disciples of Jesus Christ. And let me define that. It's not that he's not sovereign and he can do anything, however rebellious believers might be, or self-centered you might live your life. But God comes down to the level of humanity. The incarnation is the most historically incredible condescension of a sovereign God. He could have saved us any which way he wanted. He just had to say the word. But he condescended to be a man. So God condescends in a reverent way to say to man and woman, this is my plan. There's no plan B for the salvation of humankind. I want you to understand my plan. And I want you to surrender your normalcy, your self-centered living, your merry making in life, your personal egoistical happiness to fulfill my sovereign plan. Christmas is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. The focus is and must always be on the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is the Savior, the Lord, and the King. Without him, it would be impossible to be a Christian, to be born again, to be saved, and to be a joyful disciple of Jesus Christ, which is the definition of being a Christian. There is no other Christian. We might use the adjective true Christian, but if you are not really following Jesus, you're a fake. And you have no reason to celebrate, forget Christmas, to celebrate Jesus. However, the focus being Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. However, God used two very key people, and without their willing, please understand this, willing, Mary was willing. Joseph was willing. You have to come to a place of being willing submission. The Christmas story would never have happened. The fact, this fact, does not dilute the sovereignty of God. God could have used anybody. But he sovereignly chose only Mary. Plan A, no other plan. Only Joseph, no other person. And he gave Joseph and Mary the privilege. Oh, when you become willing to surrender your whole life, your self-centered living, to Jesus Christ, God gives you the privilege and pleasure of submitting in willing and joyful, wholehearted submission to his sovereign purpose. He has a purpose, he has a plan, and he has a will. You'll miss the privilege and the pleasure if you're not wholehearted. And you are not wholehearted when you forget your commitment. Or you smile and laugh and go on living the same normal life and have a very merry, stupid Christian Christmas. If you're a real Christian, a real disciple of Jesus Christ, then you have this privilege God offers you the privilege because there's a million people out there who still don't know salvation from sin. So let's look at verses 18 and 19 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and look at the shameful pregnancy of Mary. The shameful pregnancy of Mary. It says, before they came together, verse 18, she was found. It's almost like saying she was discovered. I don't think she was found out. She was hiding it. She was not hiding it. Oh, when you really understand what happened between Gabriel and Mary, when she understood what God was saying through Gabriel, you will realize that she was no longer hiding. She was not ashamed. The world's perspective is that this was a shameful pregnancy. It was not shameful anymore. The whole of her life for Mary, because she had submitted to the will of God joyfully. There's nothing to be ashamed when you're in God's will. She was found to be with child by or from the Holy Spirit. What's there to be ashamed of if the Holy Spirit is doing it? It's holy. You don't get ashamed of holiness unless you are unholy. Or faking holiness. The world thinks that way of Mary. The shame of being pregnant before marriage is great in most cultures, right? Jewish men and women were put to public shame and sometimes even stoned to death for such sin. You can search the Old Testament, especially in the Pentateuch, for some information on the law against unmarried pregnancies. People would despise them and the child for the rest of their lives. And the Bible unashamedly, clearly, unapologetically says Mary was pregnant before marriage, out of wedlock. That's verse 18. We must now not downplay Joseph's agony when Mary informed him about this. And I did a lot of breaking my head over the two passages. And I'm firmly convinced that Mary told Joseph. They loved each other. Why would she hide it? She had submitted to the Holy Spirit. And it's not a chicken and the egg nonsense, you know. What comes first? Christians who read the Bible know that chicken came first, not the egg. And if you read your Bible carefully, you know that Gabriel visited Mary first and then Joseph. It's so obvious in the tense use. Grammar, tense. So Joseph's agony when Mary informed him must not be downplayed, because he had no information from God. He only had it from Mary, and he loved her very much. And because Joseph is Joseph, you see God clearly commending Joseph in the way he was handling the whole thing. His agony. God commends him very highly, putting aside Joseph was putting aside his own embarrassment and shame. You look at the text in Matthew chapter 1. He is more concerned not about himself, but about his beloved Mary. He didn't want to put her to shame. That's his agony, Christian man. Not about himself, but about his Mary. He's not yet married to her, but he still takes full responsibility for her. And so he, unwilling to put her to shame, is determined to separate from her privately. Verse 19. Though a terribly shameful situation that would be difficult to live with for himself, he knew it would be worse for beloved Mary. He loved, cared, desperately committed himself to protect her from public shame. It says he was a just man. You know, the word just means he was a holy man. He was a godly man. He was a righteous man. And that righteousness, that being a just man, didn't come from the air. Hawa mein se nahi aati hai, righteousness. Comes from reading your Bible and following it. If you're not reading your Bible and following the Bible daily, 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 then forget about being a just person and a righteous person. You may be a born-again Christian, but you're a faltu Christian. Because your mind and heart is not filled with God's wisdom. Not just reading the Bible, but following it, obeying it daily. His righteous walk with God, his obedience to the Bible, even though it was only the Old Testament, influenced his choice and his decision to protect Mary. It says so in the text. Being a just man, he did not want to put her to public shame. So that much for the shameful pregnancy of Mary. Let's look at the stressful consideration or the agonizing consideration of Joseph. Verses 20 and 21 of Matthew's Gospel chapter 1. Though not mentioned in the text, I've already said it's most likely that Mary was the one who informed Joseph about the angel Gabriel's visit. Not by WhatsApp or text or email or a phone call. There wasn't such a thing. They were not living together, but must have been close by. It was not that he saw her tummy and said, "Hey, what's going on?" She told him. She was a holy woman, not a shameless young girl. She walked with God. She knew her Bible. We'll come to that later. Joseph, I've already said, was a just man. And you read the whole Christmas story. There is no hint of any strain between Mary and Joseph in their relationship. Even after Joseph knows that she's pregnant. And I hope you realize that if Mary told him, then Joseph knew that she was pregnant not by any other man, but by the Holy Spirit. And that's what he was considering. So I am convinced that it is absolutely possible that Joseph mentally and spiritually trusted Mary's story. That she had conceived by the Holy Spirit. Like Mary, Joseph was not a frivolous young man. Most of you are frivolous, casual, not serious thinkers. Joseph and Mary were not frivolous. They were serious thinkers, even though they were kids. They were not kiddish. And so he was considering, look at the text, but as he considered these things, as he was agonizing over these things, what? Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. How do I figure this out? Not about how the Holy Spirit made her pregnant, but how am I and she going to live with this in society? Log kya kahenge? After all, we've got to live. Isn't that what you say? Therefore, you don't have so much time for thinking, reading, obeying the Bible. He was considering the consequences of Mary's incredible story. Through his wife-to-be, he was being asked to be involved, get involved and submit to the birth of their Messiah. Mary knew that. And when she told Joseph, she told him the whole story, that the angel Gabriel told me this exactly would happen, the Messiah. Remember the Old Testament, Joseph. The Messiah is now in me. Amazing. And Joseph is saying, amazing grace of God. But it rocks my boat. It upsets my life and yours. What are people going to say? How are you going to explain this? To mom and dad, to cousins, aunties, uncles, everyone. Mary, you're still a virgin. As he was considering these things, as in the middle of all that, let's turn to verses 22 and 23 and see the sovereign salvation plan of God. And I hope you realize when God is sovereign, it means he's authoritarian, he's a dictator, no one stands in his way. He decides, he has a plan, he has a purpose, he has a will, and it will be done exactly in every small and big detail as he wills. So look at the sovereign salvation plan of God. Verse 22 and 23, God is sovereign. He can and will do whatever he purposes and wills to do with or without the submission of men. However, God gives man and woman the privilege of being part of fulfilling his plan. And it will give not only be a privilege, what will it be? It will be a pleasure, even though the whole world goes against you, even your whole family goes against you. If God be for us, except you are afraid, right? And therefore God says through the angel, don't be afraid. Don't be bothered about who's against you, what people will say. Don't be afraid of the consequences of submission. Turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. This is the visit of the angel Gabriel to Mary. And it's in the city of Nazareth. Remember, they were in Nazareth. And because of the census requirement, they had to go to Bethlehem. Verses 28 and 21 and 29 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. See the word troubled? After his greeting, after Gabriel's greeting, troubled Mary, she tried to discern what this meant. Do you see that in those verses? She tried to discern. See, there is an attempt to use her mind, her brains, to think through. Hey, what is this angel saying? She's not, there's no record that she was afraid at the appearance of the angel. She knew her Bible, that angels do come. Rarely, but they do come. And she's only troubled at his greetings. Please understand that. That's the text. Because in the greeting, Gabriel tells her not to be afraid and says, God's favor is upon you. Do you understand what it means when God sends Gabriel to say his favor? You know what favor means? It has intrinsically the understanding, the connotation of partiality, bias. But much more than bias, there is that idea of God has specially chosen you. And if God has specially chosen me, I'm only a kid, a teenager. I've just started discovering my josh for life. And I have this man in my life. We are madly in love. We have dreams of a future life. And God has chosen me means, hey, wait a minute. You're not going to live your own way. God has chosen you. He has favored you. Look at verses 30 and 31. Because when she is trying to discern, in the process of her attempt to think through and understand what the initial greetings are, the angel keeps telling her, don't be afraid, I'll explain to you what's going to happen. I hope you notice, Gabriel does not ask her permission. He's not saying, hey, wait a minute, you know. Is this all right with you? See, God is sovereign. Are you getting it? God is sovereign. He's not telling Mary like he's not telling Joseph. Are you game for it? Are you willing? He just says the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you're going to conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. No permission. Just decision. Communicated. That's God's favor. And the son, who will be called Jesus, will reign on the throne of his father David. God sovereignly decided everything. Mary could have said, hey, what the heck? What the heck? Come on. Give me some time to pray. You know, we are so spiritual, we want to pray. God says, I've decided. You can pray all you want, but I've already decided. It's going to happen. There's no time to pray anymore. There's only time to say, yes, Lord. You can try to discern what's happening. It's not you are trying to work out what's happening. Are you getting it? You're only trying to discern, understand what's going on. And she very quickly understood. If she so very quickly understood, you have to understand that she was steeped in the knowledge and wisdom of the Old Testament. She figured it out very fast. How long was the angel with her, Gabriel? He doesn't waste too much time, does he, in chit-chatting? Just tells her, like it is, straight. He even allows her to ask a question. Verse 34 to 36. How can this be? Gabriel conveys to her in clear, absolute terms. And in Gabriel's word, Mary, verse 38, is strengthened to both understand and submit to God's sovereign will. It's God's plan of salvation. God doesn't even tell Mary, as he didn't tell Joseph, hey, if you're not in agreement, I'll choose somebody else. See, there is no plan B. God's absolute sovereignty is also seen in how he deals with Joseph. In Matthew chapter 1, 20 and 21, God through the angel simply tells Joseph not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, as she is conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's it. Joseph, this has happened by the Holy Spirit. So don't be afraid to marry Mary and to... He doesn't address the consequences. Oh, not the angel, not the Lord. You know, the Lord is not discussing consequences with you. If God chooses you to favor you, to be his vessel for blessing others, then God is not bothered with the consequences to you. Are you getting it? Because of what? The fact that he is. You don't discuss consequences with the king. Are you getting it? Joseph, you will marry Mary. Don't be afraid to marry her. Joseph, you will name Mary's son Jesus. Watch those verses carefully. You will name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And implied in those words is also you will not have sex with her. You will safeguard her virginity till Jesus is born. The angel leaves abruptly. And verses 24 and 25 of Matthew chapter 1 record that Joseph obeyed what the angel of the Lord had what? What is the word? Commanded him to do. In marrying Mary, keeping her a virgin till Jesus was born, and naming the child Jesus. Savior from sin. Joseph accepted God's sovereign will without further stress, without further doubts, and without further fears. You know what the fear is in submitting to God to be his pure disciple? Is living in this world. How will I live if I become 100%? A Jesus obsessed person. Isn't that what you worry about? And really the sphere not is don't worry. Don't be bothered. Don't carry that load anymore. Just give yourself wholly to God's will and purpose God is not even saying, I'll take care of it. He's saying what? Fear not. Full stop. I will be with you. Full stop. Isn't that enough? The consequences will not stop. Ever. So you can worry all you want and miss the privilege of obedience and submission. Worry, worry, worry about your job, about your family, about your life, about your commitments, about the future, whatever else you want to worry about. And disobey God's command to fear not. God will not discuss the consequences. You know why? Because it's not worth discussing it. It'll never disappear. The consequences are part of the package of obedience and submission. Part of the privilege. In Acts, it's very clear. When the disciples were whipped and scourged and punished and persecuted, they prayed, thanking God for the privilege of suffering for Jesus. Why did God do all this? Why did God turn Mary's and Joseph's life upside down, inside out? Look at verses 22 and 23. All this was done. Do you notice those words? All this was done to fulfill God's word. God had promised, prophesied by his prophets, that a virgin would conceive and bring Messiah into this world. God had predicted he would come and be with us to be our Emmanuel, God with us. God blessed our world by getting Mary and Joseph to submit to all the difficulties and consequences of surrendering their normal life to serve God and to serve us. You would never be saved if Mary and Joseph had not been God's vessel for blessing you to be saved. God sovereignly planned our salvation by sending Jesus to be born of a virgin. You know, Jesus could not be killed if he remained fully God. He could not have been killed if he remained fully God. So he needed a human body that can be killed. That is why God sovereignly chose Joseph and Mary. Both equally had to surrender their thinking, their values, their choices, their shame, their embarrassment, and all that is part and parcel of normal living to make God's sovereign plan work. God could have chosen anybody else, but he chose only Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph had been prepared by God to be faithful and submissive believers in God. People who loved God so totally that they willingly surrender their freedom to be bound to obey and submit to God and his eternal purposes. Mary and Joseph are the greatest examples of thoughtfully fitting. They considered and tried to discern, and they willingly fitted. They didn't tweak God's purpose and will for their lives. They did not obey without understanding. They understood exactly what God wanted to do, and they understood the consequences to themselves. And when they understood the will of God and his purpose, they forgot the consequences and they accepted the consequences of submitting to God. In their submission to God's will and purpose, they surrendered their own logic. I have my own mind. No, you have your own mind. When God speaks, you surrender your own mind and say, I can't work it out, God. I don't need to work it out. I need to do what? Oh, go back to that book, by Jerry Bridges. It says, trusting God. Do you really trust God? They gave up their own logic and their own ways of thinking. Because God says, my ways are not your ways, nor are my thoughts your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts from your thoughts. So please don't talk about having your own mind where God is concerned. Now look at the spontaneous submission of Joseph. We started with what? The shameful pregnancy of Mary, the stressful consideration of Joseph, and now the spontaneous and the sovereign plan, salvation plan of God. Now the spontaneous submission of Joseph. Verse 24 and 25 of Matthew chapter 1. Joseph did the two things that the Lord commanded him to do, right? He married Mary, keeping her virginity safe until the birth of Jesus. And he named the baby Jesus. He obeyed. That is spontaneously, that is immediate, and that is total submission. There is a very interesting sequence in the submission of Joseph and Mary. God sent Gabriel to Mary first. You have to ask why now. Why not to Joseph first? Man is supposed to be the leader. Huh? No, no, no. Mary is going to be the most significant burden bearer of conceiving by the Holy Spirit before marriage. And announced to Mary that she would conceive and bear a son. She willingly submitted to God's purpose and will. Only after Mary submitted to him did God send his angel to Joseph. That's a very interesting sequence. Joseph then also submitted willingly, even though it would cost him and Mary everything normal in their lives. Can you ever think of Joseph and Mary living normally anymore? With Jesus in their life? Look at the tense, grammar tense in Luke's record. Mary is told about bearing a child by the Holy Spirit in the future tense. You will conceive. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy. It's all future tense. When Gabriel visited Mary, Mary was not yet pregnant. It was going to happen. That was what God was telling Mary. And Mary submitted. Now turn to Matthew's record of the angel's visit to Joseph and notice the tense again. Mary is referred to as already having conceived. Verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1. She's already conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph did not doubt Mary's purity for a moment even. Joseph did not doubt Mary's purity, but he could not fathom how the Holy Spirit could make her pregnant. The future tense is employed even and only, regarding the delivery of the child. If you look at verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1. What's the conclusion as we wrap up? You have to say both Mary, but particularly Mary, but both Mary and Joseph were both sensible and unconditional. in their submission. I love the words used of Mary by Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 29. She was greatly troubled at the saying, at the greeting, and tried to discern. I love the words. She tried to discern. And then in verse 34, her question, how will this be? What will be this conception by the Holy Spirit? How will it happen exactly? How? I mean, help me understand, since I am still a virgin. And I love the words used of Joseph by Matthew, chapter 1, verse 20, as he considered these things. Both the word discern and considered have to do with the mind, has to do with calculating, thinking through, understanding. Mary was a thinker. Please don't treat yourself as a kid if you're a teenager. You're not a child anymore. You have to think. What are you doing with your body? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your future? Why aren't you fully surrendered to Jesus Christ and to holiness? Because that has eternal blessing. If you mess your life as a teenager and in your 20s, it has consequences forever, and you may think you're enjoying life now, but you will regret very quickly when you sober up, and maybe it'll be too late to undo the shame and the sin and the consequences. But even then, there will be forgiveness. You know why? Because of Christmas Day. But why wait? Because you don't know whether you will ever repent, even if you regret. Mary was a thinker, and unlike most young girls or even older women, engaged her mind in doing what? It says elsewhere, she pondered these things. She treasured them. See, she was a thinker. Unlike many young girls and even older women, she engaged her mind in contemplation, in pondering. Manan kara. Sochna. Ye dhimag se sochna. Everything she saw, she heard, she experienced. Notice the record. Greatly troubled, but not passive and helpless. See? Greatly troubled, but not passive and helpless. She tried to discern. And the word discern means to reason out, to work out, to think thoroughly through the issues in your own mind. Discernment is a consultation with your own mind. You engage your mind. Not panic. And consult with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, or Jane, Mary, and Alice. And the angel explains, you know, when you start thinking through about God's involvement in your life, then God takes pains to explain His plan. Because He's a gracious, loving God, even though He's sovereign, authoritarian, and a dictator. He's a gracious God. He explains in detail. How she was favored to bear Israel's promised Messiah and God and King, who will rule from the throne of David forever. And Mary, as I said already, she's bold to ask that key question about how as a virgin she would conceive by the Holy Spirit, the God who becomes human, how? You know, Mary, Gabriel says, Mary, I'll give you another real life, in real time example. There is Elizabeth, your relative. She's an old buddhi, barren, didn't have a child for decades. She's pregnant in her 6th month. You know why? Look at the text. Because with God, nothing is impossible. Immediately Mary says, behold, look at me. I am the slave of God. Let it be to me according to your word. Exactly as you say, I am willing. Joseph is no less both a godly and mature man. He considered the whole disruption to Mary in his life and knew that things would never be normal again. Considered means thought through carefully, weighing the pros and cons of the situation. He was actually on the verge of giving up Mary, letting her go. When the Lord explained through his angel what he and the Lord God of the universe was planning for the salvation of mankind, Joseph spontaneously agreed to go wholeheartedly with God's plan. He obeyed everything God wanted him to do and paid a very heavy price for it. And mind you, Joseph is forgotten. Never again, or hardly ever again, mentioned in the New Testament. We don't even worship Joseph. We don't think much of Joseph. It's only part of the story. Please do not leave Mary and Joseph as just part of your Christmas happiness and celebration. Please don't leave Mary and Joseph out of your Christmas happiness. You know why? You should make them central. Because without their willing surrender of normal life, without their total submission to His will, God's will and purpose, God would not have been able to save you from your sin. You know why you should not forget Mary and Joseph? Not to worship them, but to make them part of your Christmas celebration. Because you remember when you think of Joseph and Mary, that God chose them sovereignly and made them the godly and mature couple so that they could be His instruments and channels of blessing to you. You know why you shouldn't forget Joseph and Mary? Because you can be a couple like them. God wants couples, families, that will say, Lord, there are millions out there going to an eternal hell. I know your plan of salvation. You sent the Redeemer. Jesus Christ, the Lord and only Savior. He wants godly, mature couples. Yes, and singles, to act as His instruments and channels of blessing to others, just as Mary and Joseph became channels of blessing for your salvation. Jesus Christ, the only Lord and only Savior, waits for you to also offer yourself to Him for the salvation and blessing of others. Will you pray today using Mary's words? Behold, behold, Lord, I am your slave. Let it be to me according to your word. Our Father, dear Father, graciously reveal yourself in strong encounters to couples this Christmas day, to singles this Christmas day, to young people who are messing up their lives this Christmas day, that the only happiness, the only blessing will come when they hear your voice, know your plan, surrender their lives, body, mind, and spirit, in total submission to you. And all God's people said,